funniest thing to me is that people think I'm the keeper of the small town. You know what I'm saying? Well, you really champion small towns and across America. I wrote one song. And everybody thought that, you know, well, hell, this guy, you know, he's all about small towns. I'm not really. It's everybody in this nation's responsibility to try to understand how democracy works and what it's about. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I know everything about everything, because I don't. But I do know that you have got to, like, at least be able to watch the news. I don't trust the news. I don't know about you. I mean, I don't believe everything that the guy on NBC or CBS or ABC says to me at 7 o'clock, because I realize that we're being inundated with things that are, like, not completely true. Because, you know, who is this for? Is the news always this bad? Welcome back to In the Studio. This is John Mellencamp.
On New Year's Eve, 1985 into 86, I was invited to John Mellencamp's private New Year's Eve party in his hometown of Seymour, Indiana. It was in a tiny little neighborhood bar they had rented for the occasion, like 10,000 others around the country that night, maybe 75 people tops, crammed into this one-room joint, just family and lifelong friends. With no stage, the John Mellencamp band just sat up at one end of the floor. I didn't notice anything different about the band that night either. There was guitar Larry Crane and Mike Wanchick, Toby Myers on bass, and emerging then as one of rock's premier drummers, Kenny Aronoff. The only thing noteworthy about the performance that night was that John Mellencamp's older brother started out leading the band as the lead singer. I don't recall him doing even one Mellencamp original the entire New Year's Eve. John was coming off his biggest album of his career, 1985's multi-million seller Scarecrow, his third platinum album in a row. So there was no indication that Mellencamp was about to alter not only the sound of his own music, but in so doing, influence rock, pop, and country that still felt decades later. If the 80s made anyone a star, it was John Mellencamp. 1981's American Fool gave him his first two hits with Hurt So Good and Jack and Diane. The album Aha in 83 made him a star. But 1985's Scarecrow established John Mellencamp as not only popular, but an important voice chronicling the times in Reagan-era America. Here's John Mellencamp with me in the studio.
I don't really subscribe to this life of luxury. I mean, great if people have got it and they dig it, good, go for it. You know, but for me, going to the rock concert with a bunch of guys in a car was always more fun than getting to the rock concert, where all of a sudden you have to sit down and shut up, you know, and no smoking and no drinking and, you know, no throwing up, you know. Oh, wow. Well, I was throwing up a minute ago in my car. I can't throw up in this place, you know. I always liked the ride there better, because when you got there, all of a sudden there was all these damn rules you had to subscribe to and follow. I'm still the same way. I don't like rules, particularly when they don't make any sense. There are some rules that are very proper and correct, but, you know, rules like no smoking. Well, let me see. This floor is made out of concrete, and this chair I'm sitting on is steel. The only thing I can set on fire is myself, and I'm not going to do that. You know, if I can't make sense out of a rule, then it just, you know, I'm kind of think that the law was meant to be interpreted in a lenient fashion. Sometimes I learn to lean to this side, sometimes I lean to that side, right?
Chase the wind, that's all the city life requires. a good life right across his green hill. And his generation says it from afar. But we keep no check on our appetite. So the green fields turn to brown like paper and fire. Paper and fire, sticking up the ashtrays. Paper and fire, blown down the alleyways. Who's to say the way a man should spend his day? He let it smoke like paper and fire. Paper and fire, sticking up the ashtrays. Paper and fire, blown down.
The song Paper and Fire from 1987's The Lonesome Jubilee album went top 10 in the fall. Even though he had earlier hits with Hurt So Good and Jack and Diane, it wasn't until the Aha album that Mellencamp's songwriting matured to where he was keen as Springsteen, Seeger, and Petty as observers of late 20th century American life.
And I hear songs on the radio to this day, and I hear them and I go, that song's not done yet. Well, like I paint, you know, now, and, you know, paintings are never done. You know, I'll go back and start scratching around on some oil painting 6-7 months after it's been done and almost redo the whole thing sometimes. And music's the same way. I mean, I hear I hear Paper and Fire on the radio, for an example. I think, God, I should have done this here and done this here, you know, made a much better song. And I think anybody that creates anything, you know, nothing's ever done. And I've never been satisfied with anything in my life. From the way I live to the type of songs I write to the pictures I paint.
John Mellencamp points to Paper and Fire from the Lonesome Jubilee album as an example when he says that all songs are not created equal.
As the songwriter, the majority of these songs, I never know when I'm writing the song how it's going to hold up. But you take a song like Paper and Fire, I'll probably play that song every time I play live because it holds up. It's a good song. It was a good song when I wrote it. It's a good song on the record, and it's a good song live. So, you know, I'll always play that song. Whereas you take a song like Hand to Hold On To, although I liked it on the record and when I did it, as time has gone on, it's proven not to be such a strong song. Because it's kind of like a little wrestling match. It just can't compete with the Papers and Fires and the Lonely Old Nights. You know, it just didn't hold up. But then there are other songs that didn't hold up so well on the records. This sounds funny for me to say, but Jack and Diane I thought was not a good rendition on the record, even though it was a number one record. I never was happy with the way that song turned out on the record, but I like it live much better than it is on the record.
Oh yeah, life goes on. No. jacks his back, collects his thoughts for the moment, scratches his head and does his best James Dean. Well then there, Diane, we oughta run off to the city. Diane says, baby, you ain't missing nothing. And Jack says, oh yeah, life goes on long after the thrill of living is gone.
That's a little ditty called Jack and Diane, recorded in John Mellencamp's garage by yours truly at Christmas 1991.
A little ditty about Jack and Diane, two bad kids doing the best that they can.
And I'm sure a lot of people have this idea of who I am and what I am, but usually it's not right. Usually it's really, really wrong. Matter of fact, when I got divorced, I kind of hung around in the art studio for about a year, and then I decided to start going out with girls again, right? So I started going out with this girl right here, and she didn't even want to go out with me because it was like, well, he's married and got kids, and he just, you know, I didn't sound like much like a fun guy, I guess, you know? Well, I mean, got kids and married and, you know. So you take on this, you know, people have real funny ideas about what, people think I'm a political person. Which one is the elephant? I don't know. Who's the donkey and who's the elephant? I don't even know that, you know. But I'll tell you, you know, and it's not just me. I was having a conversation. It sounds funny, but I was talking to Bob Dylan one day, and he looked at me, and he goes, do you think I'm a political guy? And I go, well, I wouldn't know, Bob. I mean, yeah, we're doing a song called Political World. He goes, yeah, but I'm not. You know, he says, all my career, people have thought I was really involved in politics. He said, I could give a shit. You know, could really care less. And it's not that I could care less. I have my opinion about politics. The funniest thing to me is that people think I'm the keeper of the small town. You know what I'm saying? Well, you really champion small towns and across America. I wrote one song. And everybody thought that, you know, well, hell, this guy, you know, he's all about small town. I'm not really.
People just living to be heard. Future generations Saturday.
Check it off.
Left with all the kids on Sunday.
Check it off.
Song with the Eagles all week long. And this is all that we've learned about living. This is all that we've learned about living.
Number 14 on the chart, Check It Out has that irresistible melody line played on the fiddle by Lisa Germano and doubled by accordion player John Casella. It was about this time that John Mellencamp's newfound stardom, fame, and wealth started to raise issues with his working class values in his mind and in at least some of his personal relationships.
Life has become, to me, very, very complicated, and I don't understand things anymore. I mean, as a young person, I assumed a lot of things to be true, and now they're just not true anymore. And so it's hard to live and base, as an adult, base responsible decision making on falsehoods. You know, I mean, I don't assume this, but just for this conversation, I assume that I trust the government. Well, I don't. You know, but I can't. How do you even vote for a president when you don't trust the system, you know? I assume that I trust that the schools are educating my kids. Well, I don't, you know. I mean, there's just so many things that you just take for granted as a young person that just simply aren't true. I assume that it's like it's important that I have green hair and listen to such and such band. Well, it's not, you know. I mean, bad news, that stuff doesn't matter. You know, spending time trying to be hip is okay when you're a kid. But at a certain point, it's just time-wasting. It doesn't really mean anything. And ultimately and finally, you end up like everybody else, which is like a sad scenario for some people. I remember when I was in 1967, I had hair down to my belt, and I was letting my freak flag fly, you know. But ultimately and finally, when I was in college, I looked around and, damn, so is everybody else. They're letting their freak flag fly. We're all freaks, you know? And then it dawned on me, you know, no, we're not. We're just all aping something that we saw on TV. You know, and then you got to start getting down to serious business. You got to start looking at yourself as an individual. Clothes and hair and the types of music you listen to don't make you. The type of car you drive up in has got nothing to do with the type of person you are. And I think when you start dealing with those realities, that's when life gets very confusing. You know, hopefully through my middle years, I'll be able to come to some kind of realization. To me, it's exciting because I'm always challenging and questioning myself. But as far as knowledge, I don't know anything. I mean, I don't know nothing for sure.
See Suzanne divorced her husband. She got the keys of the car and the home. But her friends were really his friends. No one stops by to see her much anymore. So one night she goes back down to the old house. Once upon a time, we're her home. She didn't know nobody out there no more. The whole experience just made her feel so old. She says, I want to live the real life. I want to live my life close to the bone. Just because I'm middle-aged back on me. Want to sit around my house and watch TV. I want to realize. I wanna live the real life. Jackson Jackson was a good kid. He had 4 years of college and a bachelor's degree. Started working when he was 21. Got fed up and quit when he was 43. He said, my whole life I've done what I'm supposed to do. Now I'd like to maybe do something for myself. Just soon as I
next, John Mellencamp scolds a nation for sleepwalking through the democratic process and then complaining about the results. Follow In the Studio on Facebook and hear and see much more at InTheStudio.net. I'm Redbeard. You're in the studio with John Mellencamp.
Welcome back to In the Studio. This is John Mellencamp.
And I'm Redbeard on the anniversary of the multi-platinum, highly influential John Mellencamp collection called The Lonesome Jubilee. With such songs as Rain on the Scarecrow from his previous album, Mellencamp had progressed from writing little ditties about Jack and Diane into the deeper waters of social issues. But when you wade into the deep end, the cross currents of public scrutiny are swift, and the riptides are strong and unseen until you're swept up in them.
It's everybody in this nation's responsibility to try to understand how democracy works and what it's about. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I know everything about everything, because I don't. But I do know that you have got to, like, at least be able to watch the news. I don't trust the news. I don't know about you. I mean, I don't believe everything that the guy on NBC or CBS or ABC says to me at 7 o'clock. Because I realize that we're being inundated with things that are, like, not completely true. Because, you know, who is this for? Is the news always this bad? I mean, do we always have to hear the bad news? Give us some good news. But it's like, that's how they close the show now. Well, a bit of good news for the day. What the hell? How about a little bit of good news in the middle, you know? But, I mean, it's our responsibility to look at what people say.
Baby, outside the club, cheering on.
John Mellencamp's Cherry Bomb hit number 8 in the winter of 1988 with vocals by Crystal Taliaferro. Up next, find out why John Mellencamp keeps an uncashed royalty check for $22.50 on his studio wall. Follow In the Studio on Facebook and hear a lot more at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard. You're in the studio with John Mellencamp.
Welcome back to In the Studio. This is John Mellencamp.
And I'm Redbeard. His next one, 1989's Big Daddy, exposed a bleak sense of hopelessness that had crept into Mellencamp's lyrics even as his career was at its peak. But John's marriage was on the rocks. He had turned the big 4-0, and his daughter had made him a grandfather all about the same time. Like American songwriters Woody Guthrie, Pete Seeger, Bob Dylan, and Bruce Springsteen, John Mellencamp feels compelled to write and sing his observations on far-reaching issues which affect every American, such as the recent Citizens United Supreme Court decision, which allowed billions of dollars of influence by corporations to be injected into the U.S. elections without disclosure.
And people are going to say, well, John, that was money that was donated. Well, damn, if you can get it donated, why can't you get it donated to get the homeless off the street? Why can't you get it donated to up the unemployment benefits? Why can't you get it donated to help the welfare benefits? But see, people don't want to think about that stuff because we all got our own phone bill to make. You know what I'm saying? Oh, man, I got nothing to do with that. I'm just trying to squeak by myself. And that is true. I understand that. I'm trying to squeak by myself. Every day's hard. But the bottom line is that collectively, it is Americans' responsibility to run America. Don't forget, it's for the people, by the people. But it's not anymore, see. Democracy, what those guys are writing about 200 years ago, it's got little or nothing to do with the way it is now. And to me, that's wrong. And I'm being cheated, and my kids are being cheated, and so are you.
John Mellencamp found out the hard way that some Americans want their entertainers to know their place and stick to the script.
Let's face it, I'm just a song and dance man. You know, I'm just here to entertain you. I don't know what it is, but for some reason people think that, you know, guys in bands should be stupid. And, you know, I've always hated that. But then the minute that they find out you're not, that you will approach other topics than ooh, baby, then all of a sudden they expect you to justify everything you say and have your reason why. And a lot of times, man, I mean, you just believe things sometimes because you believe them. You know, I believe this to be true, whatever. And you may find out it's not true. You may find out it is true. But at a point in your life, I mean, even as we said here today, you believe stuff that you really can't validate, and so do I. Call it faith, call it whatever. But the minute, you start writing songs, you got some guy going, what took you so long to get around to this? Well, I didn't know it was my job. Hell, I thought I was playing in a bar 3 weeks ago, and I was doing okay doing Satisfaction by the Stones. You know, what's so political about that?
She don't need him between the sheets. She ain't gonna sleep on the edge of the bed for no stinking man. That's the way that she lives, cause I saw her last night pouring water on a drowning man in the moonlight. Saying, howdy, 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 brother. Howdy, howdy, hey, now, mother. Howdy, 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 sister. Say what? Hey, you, look out, mother. Martha says she don't need no smile, and do the conversation, walking down the hall. Man, I ain't that the truth, cause I saw her take a bath. That's a macho dude laying some cornball line on her last night. Say, howdy, 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 brother. Howdy, howdy, ho, now, Martha. Howdy, 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 sister. Say what? Hey, you, look out, Martha.
Meanwhile, John Mellencamp had allowed himself to become a lightning rod for the farm aid movement. John looks back at that period.
And I'm not really about rain on the scarecrow either. I'm involved in farm aid and I support Willie Nelson. But for a while there, I had people calling me up asking me what I think about Congress, Harkin's bill. And it's like, well, I don't know, So I'd have to go find out, what I'm saying? It was my responsibility to find out. Well, I put myself in that position. And last time I talked to you, life had really, for me, was like, this isn't fun anymore.
Right.
This is like, you know, maybe I should start kissing babies and run for office. And I really start taking myself too seriously.
Country gentleman walked a crooked mile, got a money in his pocket, did it all with a very handsome smile. Now he's living it up in a great big office. He ain't a gonna help no poor man. He ain't a gonna help no poor man. He ain't a gonna help no poor man. He just gonna help his rich friends. Gentlemen, we see them on TV, glad-handing folks and chatting to the nation. We never knew what really to believe, just a word upon slogan with emotional connection. And in the papers, all we'd ever read is so-and-so big shot signed his resignation. Now, country gentleman, he wants us to believe that he's kind and honest with the best intention. He ain't a gonna help no poor man. He ain't a gonna help no children. He ain't a gonna help no women. He just gonna help if he's free.
On his recording studio wall, hanging next to platinum albums for American Fool, Uh-Huh, Scarecrow, and The Lonesome Jubilee, framed alongside these rare benchmarks of success in his chosen field, hangs an uncashed royalty check made out to John Mellencamp for the modest sum of $22.50. I had to ask John why it's displayed there.
Well, I figured that, you know, it's there to remember where it starts, you know what I'm saying? This is where it starts, at $22.50. And that was probably, maybe not my first one. My first one might have been for $7, and I needed the money so bad I cashed it, right? But that one, I just didn't cash. I figured, well, you know, if this is, at the time, what I was thinking, if this is all I'm going to ever get from the music business is $22.50, I better hang on to it. So I just kept it, as opposed to cashing it. So
I can understand why you kept it then. It was pretty far-sighted of you. Why do you keep it prominently displayed now?
I don't know. I just think it belongs there with the rest of it.
Is this your life, Jackie Brown? Poorly educated, forced to live side of town. Is this your daughter, Jackie Brown? This pretty little girl in worn-out clothes that have been handed down.
walking on eggshells, so you don't see her frown. Is this your family, Jackie Brown? Dream of vacation in the mountain street and giving the world more to give you. The ugly truth freedom brings, and it hasn't been very kind to you. This is your life, Jackie Brown.
You know, you can't tell a story, like I was talking earlier, and leave the good stuff out, or the best part. You know, the gold records, the platinum records, that's all the glaring, oh, that impresses people. You know, they see that and they go, oh, well, look at that. But, you know, what impresses me is it has always been the struggle up the hill. Not once you get there. Hell, there ain't nothing to do when you get there except stand and look around. You know, and that don't take you no place. Just back down the hill. So for me, it's a reminder of what it took to get these records, and it also reminds me that showing up is not enough. You know, when you show up, you got to do something.
Chased after her dream with much desire, but when she got too close to her expectations, yeah, dream burned her like paper.
no involvement. So it chased the wind, that's all the city life required. And the days of vanity went on forever. And I saw these days were lit like paper and fire. Paper and fire, sticking up the ashtrays. Paper and fire, smoking up the alleyways. Do you say the way a man stands today? Do you get his soul like paper and fire? There's a good life right across this green field, and his generation stares at it from afar. But we keep no check on our appetites. Green fields turn to brown like paper and fire. Paper and fire, sticking up the ashtrays. Paper and
another in the studio exclusive at the Garage Rehearsal, Christmas 91 in John's rural Indiana home. This edition of In the Studio is dedicated to a man that you just heard playing keyboards there, John Casella, whose accordion on the Lonesome Jubilee and the Big Daddy albums influenced countless musicians since, reintroducing the charm and romance of that sound back into rock, pop, and country. John Casella died suddenly in 1993. I'm Redbeard, back in the studio after this.